Stampsy and Josh.
It's pet name game time. Thank you, pets. You're the best. Thank you, pets. What's the heckin' name of your pet?
Josh and I are going to take it in turns. Mm-hmm. We need you to call 52232955. You've got a pet. It's got a name.
Yep.
That's it. And we want to get you around your pets, but this is a chance for you guys to basically stitch us up because you say we've got a pretty good strike rate, but odds are not on our favour.
And let's face it, Geelong and the Surf Coast.
Not in our favour? That's not the saying. In our favour.
Yes. Let's face it, Geelong and the Surf Coast. Obviously, we as human beings are going to say stuff that you don't like as well. This is the perfect opportunity to just stick it to us.
Seems a bit harsh, to be honest. Seems a bit unfair. I feel like you're bringing this show down on a Monday. I know I've had a lot of chocolate and a lot of chips and I'm currently on a sugar high, but I just feel like we just want to have some fun.
Maybe
first thing on your drive home on a Monday.
You're just a bit like higher at the moment than everybody else. 52232955.
Sunny in the OG. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you going, Sunny?
Good.
That's good, mate.
Now, you've got a pet. It's got a name. Give it to us.
Reba.
Reba. All right, I'm going to go first. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be an easy one, this one. I don't want to get overcomplicated. The first thing that comes into my head is that TV show that was a sitcom back in the early 2000s. It was a Texas woman. Her name was Reba. Anyway, I'm going to say...
the country artist.
Yeah.
Singer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, good chat. Is it a dog?
Yes.
Yeah. It was simple.
For someone who said, I just want to get straight to it, you took the wrong way around the straight to it. Charlotte in Drysdale, hello.
Hi.
Now, what school do you go to?
Drysdale Primary School.
Good afternoon to everyone out there. Was it a good day at school today?
Yeah.
Awesome. And now you're going to go home to your pet. Mm-hmm. What is your pet's name?
Tank.
Tank sounds like a solid unit.
I think I know what it is, but you can go ahead.
I want to say, I'm not locking this in yet. Don't tell us yet, Charlotte. I want to lock in it's a dog because I'm just thinking a heavy set.
Like a bulldog or something like that. Yeah,
something stocky. I'm not fat, I'm just big boned. Charlotte in Drysdale, is Tank a dog?
Yes.
Yeah!
To be fair, they've been pretty easy today. Thank you, Charlotte. Amazing. We love your dog, Tank. We're going to try some people who have just called through as we've been doing this on 52232955. I believe this is Kathleen from Lovely Banks.
It is.
How are you going, Kathleen?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. You got a pet? It's got a name?
I do have multiple pets with a name.
All right. Give us one.
Houdini.
Houdini. Ooh.
Does Houdini... Oh, no, I'll ask the question after you take a guess.
Is it a rabbit?
No.
Damn, that was the easy one.
Did Houdini get its name because it always disappears from the yard?
Well, when we first got her, she disappeared overnight and we didn't know where she went. I took my partner's car to get service to the mechanic, got home and she reappeared.
And what is Houdini?
She is a crimson cognac.
What is that? A bird.
Okay.
Well, I don't feel like I was ever going to get that, so.
All right, final pet name game contestant. To Megan, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
All right, you've got a pet. It's got a name. Give it to us.
Ginger.
Come on, mate. You can get this. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Oh, well, now the pressure's on, ain't it? Is Ginger a cat?
Yes.
Easy peasy. Lemon squeezy. The pet name game back next week.
Hashtag science, Gus.
I love science and I love learning stuff.
Although you could actually put this in the category of worst idea ever.
Or also the category of excuse to have a beer on a Monday afternoon.
An excuse to open up the beer fridge here at work. So, VB has put out a limited edition VBT. As in T-E-A, as in would you like a Tim Tam slam with your tea?
No.
As part of a promotional push ahead of this year's Ashes series in England.
Does it contain the actual Ashes? That would be amazing. I would buy the heck out of that tea.
That's really morbid.
It's just a wicket. It's not like it's a body or something.
Oh, I thought it was.
Are you really want dead people tea, Joshua?
I thought thought it was someone significant in the cricket world.
Nope, it's the wickets of the, I think, of the first game that they just burnt and then they put inside the tiny little trophy. That's why it's so small, because it's just cricket wickets.
I swear I haven't already been drinking too long on the surf, because I genuinely thought it was may they rest someone's remains. Anyway.
We all have knowledge gaps. It's fine, mate.
Wow. If this wasn't live across Geelong and the Surf Coast. So, the tea, which comes in packs of 24, get mm-hmm. it, a slab, comprises a combination of Ceylon black tea leaves and VB's own Super Pride hop. So, they've basically morphed it into one hybrid super tea. They've posted on Twitter, what's worse than drinking English breakfast? Drinking it while the Poms are playing. Introducing VB tea for a limited time only while stocks last.
Does this, like, also get its secondary name as an Australian breakfast?
I wouldn't want to put my name to it. It sounds foul.
See, the thing to me, like, all right, so I remember when I had, because I don't drink VB very often, but when I do, it's like, this is a weird creamy beer, and I feel like having a creamy beer flavour in a tea would kind of go well together.
Well, this is the thing. My mum always said, you can't knock it till you try it. Mm-hmm. You can't complain. You can't say you don't like it if you've never put it in your mouth.
Well.
So.
Insert what we have in the studio right now.
Here's one I prepared earlier.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we, in the turnaround time, haven't got ourselves a VB tea.
No.
So we're going to make do with a Lipton quality black tea, mm-hmm. which was in the kitchen, and I'm not going to lower myself to VB. So we actually got ourselves our very own Geelong's own Little Creatures Pale Ale.
There you go.
Thank you. I'm about to put the two together.
Yep.
And let us decide right here, right now, if this is something maybe... to be honest, I know this is not great radio as I'm adding the beer to the tea. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Just fill the silence a little bit.
I was more concerned about the frothiness and the foam that was currently forming on the tea. Okay, so I'm actually, I don't know.
Science, how. Guys. Live science on the air right
because
now.
Because I'm putting it into hot tea. Uh-huh.
I'm trying to commentate but I've got these big screens in front of me.
No, I'm just thinking because I've put it in the hot tea, does that mean I've now burnt off the alcohol, or are we technically drinking live?
No, I
on
think
air?
You have to like cook the beer for the alcohol to go.
I didn't even ask how much I should have put in there because I've at least put a quarter in the tea. Okay, who wants to try this first? So this is our version.
Yep, VBT.
VBT.
But it's LCT.
Beer tea.
Yeah, beer tea.
Hashtag beer tea.
You can't quit.
Do you want me to try
it? Mate, give it a crack. Give it a crack. While you...
I don't normally drink beer anyway.
So you're going to hate this regardless.
Oh.
Mate, it's not that bad. It's just beer and... She doesn't look irritated.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you right here, right now, the sweetness of the tea or the sweetness of the beer, I don't know because I don't usually drink the two together.
Kind of nice.
It's actually not bad.
Can I try it? I'm really interested in trying. Handing it over the panel, this is the riskiest thing ever.
I hope IT doesn't walk past right now.
It doesn't smell bad.
The fizziness of the beer, it's not bitter because the tea actually cuts the bitterness out from the beer. So try it.
I'm just going to try it.
Just from the other side of the lip of the cup. It's not bad.
I would drink this regularly.
But
it's
not bad.
Actually, I don't hate that at all. That is genuinely... Have we invented a new beverage? I mean, technically, VB's already invented it. But like actual beer in a tea...
We thought there was going to be gagging in this segment, but we've actually been delightfully surprised.
Actually really tasty. Go home, do yourself a favour. Lipton, what is it, just black tea?
Just Lipton black tea.
Lipton black tea and a little creature.
I mean, I wouldn't be doing it with the fruit teas, maybe, unless, you know, you want to go down a boutique kind of beer tea.
I would happily drink all of that, actually.
I would actually drink beer if it came in tea form.
Science!
I'm going back for seconds, guys.
She actually is right now. I haven't gotten to do this in a while.
Nerd!
The nerd news.
Great that is.
$4.3 million was won on the weekend, Stampsy.
How?
Fortnite. And I love how much you care about it, because we looking at the whiteboard, you've just written 14 and just I like how you've written the word and you just come with, I don't care about this, and just gone whatever.
Oh, I did too. What was I even trying to write?
Fortnite, probably.
I wasn't even drinking the beer tea at that point.
Anyway, the World Championships were on in the US. It was the Fortnite World Cup, and there was a grand total prize pool of about $43 million.
Right.
Person who won the singles competition, because you can do it in different teams as ones, the singles as duos, and their squads, which are four people. Person who won the singles complete competition won $4.3 million, and as a 16-year-old from the US, that is a lot of money.
That was what I was just about to ask. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping my eldest nephew, Josh, who just turned 10, isn't listening because he would be like, why do I need to make my bed? I could just continue playing Fortnite, build my skills up in the next competition, walk away with a few cool couple of mil.
Well, that's like there was a thing that came out recently that apparently more US kids want to be YouTubers and Fortnite gamers than they want to be astronauts now. So
that's surprised me.
2019. Anyway, other notable things that happened at this event. Marshmello played live music there. Alice in Wonderland.
That's not the first time he's done it at esports, has he?
Nah, he loves Fortnite in particular. Alice in Wonderland was there as well.
Aussie
and then
DJ?
There was a bit of a, and a little bit of a fight between Alice in Wonderland and Marshmello on Twitter as that was happening. Apparently, she's claiming that he pushed her or one of the announcers pushed the music's finishing. Does that mean I have to stop now?
No, you're going to keep going. I'm done.
I'm basically done anyway. So, anyway, good news. Good money in the esports scene. I'm all for it. Video games. Yeah.
So I need to learn how to start playing video games.
Mate, it's too late for you now.
It's never too late to learn. Especially if it's going to make me $4.3 million. I will start learning right now if I need to.
Just don't see you at work tomorrow and you're just like, I'm playing Fortnite. Don't bother me.
Start ordering in pizza and soft drink and away I go.
Hey, that's a stereotype. None of that.
I feel like I'm in a confessional right now or I'm attending BA.
You don't like apologising for things, so you look really uncomfortable right now.
I've made a major faux pas over the weekend. So much so, I didn't even know there was a term for it. I didn't even know there was a title for people like me.
Wow.
So and I've committed the ultimate sin.
I'm worried. It wasn't against me, was it?
No.
Thank God, because that would make the show really hard.
Hi, my name's Samson. I binge cheated.
What do you... Do you mean... What?
So apparently when you make a commitment to a friend to say, hey, we are going to watch a show together from the very beginning...
I knew you wouldn't apologise for anything real.
And you make a head start, even though it was an accident, I fell into it.
Sure you did, mate.
Apparently, binge cheating is a massive no-no. So my friend and I had decided, because neither of us have Foxtel, we don't have HBO.
Mate, so get into 2019.
We've
what are
got
you doing?
Everything else at home. I've got Netflix, I've got Stan, I've got KO, whatever else.
I feel like
is
that's a very tender topic for you, Stancy.
I'm still getting my head around which bloody remote to pick up. Oh, I'm going to use my phone app. Oh, bloody hell.
It's the future.
It's 2019. I know. I'm still getting my head around the fact that we've got more than one streaming service. I've moved into a new place in G West, okay? So I'm still getting my head around everything we have at home. So a friend of mine and I had decided we really want to watch Chernobyl.
Okay, good.
But by the time we worked out neither of us had it, do we know anyone who has it that we can go around and see, it already started. So we went, you know what we'll do? We'll wait till the season finishes, then we'll legally download the entire series or we'll get it and we'll watch it and we can binge it an entire weekend.
Just anytime you say binge, I'm decided I'm playing that now.
So last night, my housemate managed to get HBO. This is the same housemate that's connected all of the streaming services. But he needed to test it to make sure it would actually run and there was no lag and everything. I said, yeah, cool, no worries. I was finishing my dinner on the couch. And he said, oh, I've heard heaps about this show. Do you mind if I just put it on for 5 minutes and see what the quality's like?
First mistake.
He put on Chernobyl. Neck minute. We've watched episode one.
Of course you have, mate. What are you doing?
52232955. Have you committed the same faux pas? Have you binge cheated?
I feel like it's not as bad when you both haven't started the show yet. If you've both committed to watching every single episode, like me binge cheating on my girlfriend with The Good Place, that's a show that's on Netflix as well with like Ted Danson and Kristen Bell and all these other people. That's more of a situation because we watched every episode of season one and two together and then season three came along and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's on three or four episodes ahead of you now.
Apparently, binge cheating is binge cheating because now we haven't started, we haven't experienced this show together from the very beginning. Apparently it's worse if you've already been a couple of seasons in and your partner might be going, look, I've got to work all weekend, wait for me.
Yeah.
Has this happened to you or has this happened to you where you've made a commitment with your best friend, your husband, your wife?
Yeah.
And they've gotten ahead of you, you've gotten ahead of them.
Give us a buzz, 52232955.
Tammy in Hamlin Heights. Tammy, have you binge cheated?
Well, yes, I have to admit I have. But we have very strict rules in our house. I have adult twin daughters. They're 20.
Mm-hmm.
And they watch a lot of shows together.
Right.
But then they have certain shows that they'll lock in with their father. They have shows that they lock in with me. And if I watched an episode without them, they would murder me.
What? So I was going to say, hopefully that's not the real punishment. What is the punishment for not being able to, for binge cheating?
Well, they'd probably say, that's it, we're not watching shows with you anymore.
Does your family have a Google Calendar going on? Is there some form of spreadsheet on your fridge?
Not quite, but I would not put it past my daughters. They actually have notes in their phones about what episodes we're up to.
I love it. Was it particularly easier, like, around Game of Thrones time or, like, a big event TV show coming out?
Yeah, well, see, the problem is we're never all home together, them being adults and all, they're at uni and work, and so they actually watch Game of Thrones with their father, but I've never seen an episode.
What's the one show at the moment? What's the one go-to show in your house?
Oh, well, we're a bit behind on Handmaid's Tale, so the girls and I are watching that at the moment.
Nice.
But they're watching everything.
Okay, good.
They can give you a rundown on everything.
Oh, mate, we become sponges in 2019. Do you mind just absorb everything
you
can?
I need to go around to Tabby's place because I'm behind on Handmaid's Tale as well. I think I might need to gadge up. 5223 2955. Join the conversation. Have you binge cheated? Levi, in Norlane, you've been binge cheated on.
Yeah, that's correct. It's not something I really like to admit, but my girlfriend got me into watching Married at First Sight. It's not really the most manly show.
It's all right. Safe space here, no judging.
Yeah, well, that's it. I wasn't really interested in the show until she made me watch it. So then we started watching together.
Right.
And she went ahead and watched the show without me. So, yeah, I was quite offended. It's hurtful.
I would be too, because you're going out of your way to do something that she wants to do. You're trying to be a good boyfriend, and then she's taking that away from you.
I know, and it's devastating. I was quite invested by this point. Well, at least halfway into the season, and yeah.
Did you seek the ultimate revenge by watching a show without her?
Did you cheat back?
I couldn't do that to her.
You're a stand-up citizen.
It's terrible. I know how it feels.
You're an amazing Samaritan.
Geelong, get excited. The Block is back this Sunday night from 7 o'clock. That's 7 o'clock. And joining us, the man who is the Block, Scotty Cam. Good afternoon.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Excited to have you and the team back on our TV screens. Let's start, though, with a bit of a quick fire because we're seeing new teams back on our TV screens from Sunday night. Out of these two, who would you prefer to partner up with as a team on the Block, Keith or Dan?
Oh, both of them. I can't pick them. I can't pick between
no
them.
They're just fantastic. No fence sitting, Scotty. Come on. Between the two.
Yep. No, there's no way I'm pulling those two apart. They're fantastic and they're a great team.
All right,
they
what
come
about?
They're almost joined at the hip.
What about between Neil, Shayna, and Darren? Who would you choose out of the three?
Oh, well, look, the judges are all fantastic as well. You can't do this to me. They're listening, right? They're in town for the launch tonight and they're going to be here. And so they could possibly be listening. I love the judges equally like my three children.
Lots of things to celebrate and lots of houses that are getting fixed because they are townhouses this year. And one of the contestants, the Melbourne contestants, Jesse and Mel, one of them's a real estate agent. When you heard there was a real estate agent coming on the show, we're like, they're never going to get anything done. They're just going to be looking for blemishes on the walls and little scratches on the corner posts.
Oh, they get plenty done, those two. They're hard workers. But Mel's like a project manager. She runs the joint like a very tight ship. And Jesse's a bit lippy all the way through. Him and I have a few run-ins.
Ooh.
Aww.
So you wouldn't want to be on a team with Jesse then?
Oh, yeah, because he's a goer.
Yeah. Fair I was going to say, but you wouldn't want to team
him up with
Keith.
We still have a few run-ins along the way and we have a few blues, Jesse and I.
Interesting.
That's it. And this show, that's what it gives you. It gives you the development and something you physically see transform, but it also introduces you to these Australian characters that day in, day out, they're either on a work site or, you know, they're just your average Joe and they come on the screen and they're just themselves.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about The Block. It's a real show. And they're just like Aussies, mums and dads, or anybody out there just like you and me that could go on and get on a TV show and do your best. And we throw them in the deep end right from the word go. and you know, some shine and some you know, like a struggle a little bit.
I think one of my favourite things about watching the block every year is just watching it go from a decrepit, like, terrible building, something that's, like, almost, it's space age, it's futuristic, it's most beautiful. But the thing about, like, townhouses specifically is that they're all about keeping their old-school rustic charm. Was that something that the guys were focusing on this season?
Look, the terraces that we've got are built in the 1860s. They're magnificent gold rush buildings, and they were mansions in the day, too, I've got to add. And so they were really flash, but now falling in disrepute, backpackers, and they were in terrible condition. We kept the front facades of the beautiful building. So from the street, they look like they were built yesterday. We've got them exactly looking the same as from the 1860s. And then one room in, we then went modern and contemporary and put all the bells and whistles in. So it's a really good mix of old and new.
Week in, week out, it's going to be different. Finally, Scotty, I did think of you. Now, bear with me. It starts off with me at the gym. So I may have made a comment to one of the PTs. Look, mate, you really need to update the playlist. So I'm not trying to pick it apart, but and he had to go. He said, all right, well, you work in radio, you do it. And I said, no, I'm off the clock, right? How often do people come to you maybe with an issue in their house and they call upon a mate, right? Or they ask you about a DIY disaster and if you had to pull them up and go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm off the clock.
Well, that happens to me, I don't know, 15 times a day.
It's not even a problem at this point.
It does happen a lot. People want to get a bit of advice about what's going on and products and what do I do here. But that's the nature of the business. That's been going on all my life, you know, as a builder and a carpenter. People have been asking me that since time began.
Yep. Sunday, this Sunday, that is. The block is back, 7 o'clock. Scotty Cam, thank you so much for checking into the Departure Lounge.
Thanks, guys.
The new Monty, the new full Monty back on our TV screens tonight on Channel 7, doing it all for Men's Health.
Yes.
And having some fun along the way. Some big names have said yes. They've signed up. They're literally bearing all for Men's Health. And one man who I needed to get on this show because I have so many questions is former Wiggle, now stage superstar, Sam Moran. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys.
When I saw the lineup of who was doing this show for this series and I saw your name, I had to ask.
Okay.
The transition between probably the upper end of your audience from the Wiggles have also aged a few years now, and they might actually be in the audience for this strip. Have you thought about that? Because that's going to be quite a shock.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I don't think they're quite old enough yet, I'm hoping.
All right.
I'll be watching the show tonight with my own daughter who's 9, and she doesn't really understand why I have to get naked to bring attention to Men's Health.
Look, now, when I first saw the show and I saw the cast, I was like, wow, that's for a place where a whole lot of blokes are getting their kid off, that's a lot of people's names that kind of like euphemisms for phallic objects. You got a Johnson, you got a Wood, you got a Dipper, you got to be a bit creative with that. And you being a former Wiggle, have you heard literally every penis joke that you could have possibly heard?
Yeah, but it's not the wiggling I'm worried about, it's the jiggling I'm more worried about.
There's our promo right
there. Yeah, good.
But Sam, all jokes aside, you guys are doing this for such incredible reasons. It's all in support of Men's Health, in particular prostate cancer and mental health. Was there a personal reason why you wanted to take part in this? Because it is quite brave, as I said, all jokes aside about the jiggling and the wiggling, that you are putting yourself out there for a higher purpose.
Yeah, certainly. And look, the transition from children's entertainment to male stripper is quite a large one. But you know what? Like you said, it is for a good cause, and we're trying to bring attention to prostate cancer and testicular cancer and just try and asking men to, you know, get themselves out of their own comfort zone and go and get themselves checked. You know, and it's a simple process to do that and to really look after themselves. And my uncle, when he was my age, got diagnosed with testicular cancer.
Right.
So it really brings it home that it's not just, you know, these diseases are not just, you know, lack of a better word, you know, old men's disease. They, you know, these are things that affect in all different age brackets. So you know, that's certainly, and he went on and continued to, after he was treated, he had more children after that and everything. So, but it's you know, that early diagnosis is real. And one thing I learned actually doing the show was how high the prognosis is for people who get that early diagnosis. Mm. And it's like a not, it's like a 95% success rate if you get it early. So just making sure that you're aware to even just, you know, when was the last time you got checked? But it's not just, the thing is, men don't look after themselves.
Nope.
We just don't.
It's true.
But then, so a show like this hopefully will get wives and mothers and children as well to kind of give their, you know, give their dads a bit of a prod and say, are you looking up, you know, have you got checked?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want you to be around. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
The cast is a corker this year, and you've got some very, very, I want to say, like, iconic Australian actors in there and sports people as well. Have you just all become best mates? Because I feel like you'd have to after everybody kind of seeing each other's, like, naked bodies.
Yeah, you know what? It was very supportive. It was a very supportive group. We've all got a little, you know, WhatsApp group that we all just kind of go, way to go, whenever there's something. You know, we kind of, every night after rehearsal, we kind of just keep encouraging everybody to rehearse and practice. And you know, a lot of you know, football players in there as well, who, you know, they really understand that team dynamic. So we really did become like a little team in that way. I will say with the football players, they seem to be a lot more comfortable getting naked.
Yeah. Did you manage, though, and it has been a few years since you did take the stage in a skivvy, but were you able to slip in a hot potato or a wiggle finger in the performance?
Well, you'll have to see tonight, I guess, and find out.
There's a hook and tease.
Is that with the hands or is it with something else? The hot potato
and the
wiggle.
It's not a puppetry of the penis show, Josh. It's not that kind of performance.
The Real Full Monty is going to be a lot of fun, and
it is.
You're very, very brave for doing this, mate. So congratulations.
Absolutely, thank you, guys.
Good afternoon, Stancy and Josh. Thank you so much for the time to speak about this important subject of organ donation.
A very important week on the calendar for you guys and for Australians as well. Let's talk about some positives. 90 selfless people have kindly ticked the box. They were organ donors, changing the lives of 235 recipients. What does it mean for those families that still have family members, loved ones with them?
Yeah, it's an amazing generosity of Australians. Organ donation essentially saves lives.
Yeah.
And really at any one time, we have over 1,500 people waiting for a life-saving transplant around Australia.
When you look at those numbers and think about the aspects, it's kind of easy to go, hey, I want to just donate my organs if something bad were to happen to me. But I think obviously the reason people don't tick that box on their license and stuff, because it's pretty like, to think about yourself getting cut up, even though you're not going to be around anymore,
your own mortality.
It's really, really, really hard. How can we go about like removing that stigma?
That's true. Look, I think it's important to, you know, take a little bit of control over your, you know, end of life care wishes. This is the opportunity to be able to let your families know what your wishes are, that you do want to help others in the very rare opportunity or rare circumstance that you can donate.
Mm. We respect that there would be some cultural reasons people don't want to donate, but what are some of the biggest concerns and how do we overcome them? Because as you said, as it stands, over 1,500, I think it's like 1,551 currently on the waiting list. Some people would have concerns, or is it breaking down the barriers of, because I think still, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you might be able to put in your wishes, but your loved ones, your next of kin, can still make the final decision?
Yes, yeah, that's right. So, essentially, families, if they know that their loved one wanted to be an organ donor or if they've registered their wishes, they're more likely to say yes to donation.
Okay.
And if they have never talked about it before or they haven't registered, then they're in this sort of position where they're unsure and they're acutely grieving, understandably, and so it's difficult to make that sort of decision on behalf of their loved one. So that's why we're absolutely calling out to all Victorians to ensure that they register on the Organ Donor Australian Organ Donor Register, which is only takes about a minute. You can get online to donatelife.gov.au, and all you need is a Medicare card, and then you can join.
We've all got one of those.
Is there a place where people can read up more about all of this and the kinds of lives that they're saving? Because obviously it is very important, but I think there is a little bit of a nature to humanity where we want to see where our sacrifices are going and like the successes are being made.
Yes, yes. So the same website, the donatelife.gov.au, has all information for whether you're a health worker or whether someone in the community, even teachers, etc. There's lots of great information and supports online. So when you go and register there, there's also a whole heap of information that will help, even in terms you were talking earlier about cultural differences and things like that. So it has a lot of information about that.
Finally, Leanne, and correct me if we're on path for it, but there are countries across the globe that have an opt-out system. Here in Australia, it's opt-in. Can we just simplify it? Because for a lot of people, let's just put it down to forgetfulness.
Yeah.
We want to do it, but we just haven't got around to it.
Yeah.
Can we just do it that way? Is it as simple as just changing the rules, going, hey, we're all organ donors unless you opt out?
Well, the answer to that is, well, firstly, Australia is a world leader in transplant outcomes, which is fabulous.
Oh,
we do operate in an opt-in system where people have to register their intention to become a donor. And there's actually no clear evidence in Australia or even internationally that the opt-out system directly results in an increase in donation rates.
Interesting, yeah. So, I thought it would have had the opposite effect. I thought it would have been more proactive in donations. Well, we can read more of this online. We'll get all those details up as well. But Leanne McAvoy, all the best this week in raising the awareness about donating life, and hopefully across Australia, but across here, Geelong and the Surf Coast, we can seriously think about being selfless and saving more lives. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
I want to tell you about a woman who is unlucky in love other than Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. They're all loved up. I want to tell you about UK Elizabeth Hoge. She was on a British daytime television show this morning where the former model told viewers she has previously struggled with love. She's had four previous engagements. She's been on over 200 dates. And no, I'm not calling myself Elizabeth Hoge here. She's decided she was going to stop looking for dates altogether. She was done.
How do you number dates? Like, do you remember? Do you put them in your diary and you just like count them from that or something like that? Because I don't know. I would have no idea how many dates
I've been
on. I still
have a paperback diary. So if I had to do a count back.
You probably could.
Yeah,
I
maybe.
I feel like Beck could too, actually. Like, she's the same.
Maybe with the restaurant that you went to and then just a sad face. Right? She said her last boyfriend turned out to be married. What a dog. Well, actually, funny I should say that. But has since found solace in her adopted pup, Logan, who she claimed saved him. Fast forward, they've tied the knot.
What do you mean?
She's got married to a golden retriever,
That's
Logan.
Illegal. You can't do that.
It's not going down the full 50 LED
thing. You're not consummating the marriage.
No, there's no consummation. She just says that through everything, she's been able to rely on him, that he is there for her and she can talk to him.
Why can't you just be normal and just say, I've got a good pet that I like a lot? Why do you have to marry your pet?
Don't say normal, because everybody is invested in love in all shapes and sizes. We can't judge.
Well,
all shapes and sizes and in particular objects, because this is not the most unusual I do's that have gone down in
and
history.
And there's been so many of them. Whenever I see them pop, I'm like, oh, this person's really into topsoil. And you're like, what?
Well, Amy Wolf Weber is a church organist from Pennsylvania. She married a roller coaster.
Yeah, I do remember that story in particular. She like really liked riding it all the time. And
her husband in question is an 80-foot gondola ride called the 1001 Nuctus. She's ridden the ride over 3,000 times before they were married, so she definitely tried before she bought.
Yep.
A British woman who goes by the name of Emma says she fell in love with a hi-fi system, which she called Jake.
Now,
Jake, she says, is, quote, solid, reliable and beautiful. She repairs him when he goes wrong and makes love to him on average twice a day.
So that's, I assume that's the same kind of deal. Remember that old Italian Job movie where the guy buys the hi-fi system and okay, anyway.
What about Amanda Liberty from Leeds? She's embarked on an open relationship with chandeliers.
Well, I mean, like, pretty sure if you're in a relationship with an inanimate object, you can make it as open as you want.
Because when one chandelier loves another chandelier. She's actually engaged to an 28-inch wide light candle called Lumineer.
Good for her.
After buying it on eBay.
Okay. All right.
But I think this final guy is actually onto something.
Yeah.
Chinese man, Lu Yi, married a life-size cutout of himself. He said he was dissatisfied with reality, so he married himself. And to be honest, you can't find anyone more perfect than yourself, oh, so why not? God.
Why, though? I don't know. Look, all right. Everybody deserves love to
Josh,
a degree.
This Chinese man, I've been single for 8 years. I think he's actually onto something. Maybe I need to make a cut out of myself.
Geelong Get Excited is back on our TV screens tonight. The Bachelor starts tonight and airs tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. on 10. And joining us now, the man who is on the journey, the search for love, Bachelor Matt. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Are you prepared? Because right now, right across Australia, right across Geelong and the Surf Coast, they are currently rolling out the office sweeps to find out who you're going to end up with. Are you prepared for all of Australia to have an opinion depending on where their $5 has gone?
I am absolutely not prepared. I'm going into this and, you know, it'll play out how it plays out and it'll be a lot of fun, I think, and I'm just kind of rolling with it.
Have you had any, like, feedback already? Because people have seen the promos. People have seen how you look on the show. People tweeting at you, commenting on your Instagram.
Most of what I've heard has been positive. I'm hoping that continues to be the case, but I'm sure there's always, you know, trolls will troll, and I think there will always be, everyone's got an opinion, and there will be criticisms. There will be opinions shared about me, and, you know, I think it's one of those things that, if you don't know someone personally, you can't take it personally.
There are always couch critics out there, people who are happy to have an opinion but would never say it to your face. That is life. But have you actually had any marriage offers from people via your Instagram going, look, if it doesn't work out on the show, I have been single for the last 15 years. I'm happy to put a ring on it.
I have not. I haven't really been checking out how much DM sliding is going on at this point, but you know, look, maybe if I have a look through there, there's probably one or two, but I can't confirm that there's any because I haven't looked.
So the main promo that's gone around and the one that's gone viral in the last couple of weeks is obviously you saying, I'm an astrophysicist, and one of the girls being like, I'm a Gemini, and obviously, like, there's a little bit of editing, and I know you came out this morning and said, oh, she was just stirring you up, and I know not all the girls are going to be like that, but I reckon you would have had some very intelligent conversations in the house. Is there anything that, like, stuck out? Are you talking about, like, space or, like, molecules or
Josh
stuff like that?
I don't know if you completely nerded out in the mansion.
I was really excited meeting all the women, and one of the key things was that there was a real varied cross-section of women from what they did and where they came from. So it was exciting because, yeah, there was the opportunity to have, yeah, I guess what one might say is kind of nerdier conversations, but also conversations about things that they were passionate about that I knew little to nothing about.
I just would like to say on behalf of Geelong and the Surf Coast, thank you to The Bachelor Australia for having just an everyday, average, run-of-the-mill bloke looking for love. We love the fact that that's back on our TV screens. I don't think, realistically, we can't expect, or you couldn't expect, to know exactly what you were going to go through until you were actually living it. Was there anything that genuinely surprised you about the experience? Something maybe you weren't prepared for?
I think in terms of what I wasn't prepared for would be, it is actually a really grueling, physically demanding filming process. It's filmed over a period of about 3 months, and it's a lot of footage that they need to get in that period of time. And obviously I'm, as the Bachelor, involved in essentially every date and a large majority of scenes. So, yeah, that was something I kind of wasn't prepared for. I thought it was going to kind of be, you know, a bit of a walk in the park, a holiday. I go out, have a few cheese platters, a couple of glasses of red, and, you know, it's all going to be all done. I come out with a relationship. But, yeah, it's actually quite a taxing schedule.
On that, did you come out with a better rig than what you went in with, or was it like a...
Not if it was all cheese platters, no way!
Look, I had to control myself around the cheese platters for that very reason. I've always tried to keep myself in pretty good shape, and I went in probably not at the best shape I'd been in the past, but...
Girls love a dad bod, so...
Yeah, but I think I got back to what I'd consider close to the best shape while I was in the house, yeah.
The Bachelor is tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. on 10. Bachelor Matt, all the very best on this journey, as they say, in reality TV. This will not be the last time we chat to you. We'll chat to you along the way. So thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. I look forward to it. Cheers, guys.
If it was a tough day at work today, it was a little bit sucky.
Mm-hmm.
Spare a thought for tennis up-and-comer Alex Lebedev. He is working his way into the pro ranks. He's currently competing in the ITF and ATP Challenger events at the moment. Got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, US time, so in the last 24 hours, he was attempting to qualify for the Challenger in Lexington, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. It was 89 degrees Fahrenheit, just over 31 degrees Celsius, but hotter on court. That's just the outside temp. So can get up anywhere to 35, 40 degrees on court.
And you're running around being very sweaty, so you're going to be hotter regardless.
Poor guy started suffering leg cramps. But the thing is, these leg cramps got so severe, he actually couldn't stand up straight. Somehow, he found it within himself to claw his way back to a 5-4 set.
Very impressive. It reminds me, actually, because these photos have just gone viral of the bicycle riders of the Tour de France who had those leg cramps. And basically, for days after, all it is just shredded around their muscles. That's really, really full on. This guy is dealing with the same issues. So.
Right. So we had an opportunity to serve out the match. Things were looking good for Alex. Unfortunately, that's when things got a little messy.
Yep, that's what you think it is.
He had a vom.
Mm-hmm.
He had a vomit. Play was suspended for about 9 minutes while the vomit was toweled off.
Mm-hmm. That's just not a phrase I really wanted to hear today, to be honest.
What, vom toweled off?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he tried to continue on. He just couldn't. But how public and, you know, I guess you can be an elite athlete. You can train so hard. But he pushed his body to the limits. And that's involuntary. When it's got to go, it's got to go.
It's like when you see like marathon runners who are like a kilometre or 2 kilometres from finishing and their bodies just can't do it anymore. And you're like, you're so close. Just find something extra in the tank. And you just can't.
Aside from one too many adult cordials, because I think we've all been there. When have you had a public vom?
Yeah.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Was it during a sporting match?
Mm-hmm.
Were you walking down aisle 3 of Coles?
Mm-hmm. I remember when I used to play football, because I used to do that when I was 16, 17, 18 year old. We had the commando, Steve, actually come and do a random training session with us.
An awesome opportunity.
Yeah, this was in Box Hill. So sorry, Park Panthers. A little bit of shout out to my old footy club. And
I'm sure they're all listening.
Yep. And I was not the fittest human being on the planet, and I did a couple of laps of the oval, and we were just like on it. We were all just giving it our all, and everybody was just exhausted at this time. And then it just got to a point where he was like, all right, now everybody has to do like 100 push-ups, and I'm just like, I'm trying my best. I get like 30 down, and then all of a sudden I'm just vomiting everywhere and I literally can't do anything anymore. He goes, come on, you keep going. And I'm just like, while he's trying to reassure me, I'm literally vomiting as it's happening.
It's like the equivalent of holding your hair back.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm just going to call it here. This is too much for me. And I just walked off.
It could be sporting induced. It could be pregnancy induced. Mm. Maybe you were unwell. Maybe you had a cold, the flu. Maybe it was food poisoning, but you were out at a restaurant.
But if you have a really good story about vomiting in public and it was after a few adult cordials, tell the story responsibly and we'll also talk about it as well.
Rachel in Werribee, where'd you have a public vom, hon?
At my gym's local competition.
What happened?
We had a CrossFit competition, and the day before I had my cousin's wedding, and I wasn't meant to drink, and they rat-dogged me into drinking. And then the next day I had a comp and I got up to the second race workout, and everything I drank the night before decided to come back up, and they had to rush to go get me a bucket mid-workout.
Oh,
and
no.
We had a photographer on site at the time.
Now there's some action shots.
There's videos and there's photos of me all on Facebook and me vomiting in a bucket while all my mates are still working out.
And that's why you make your Facebook profile private, so prospective employers don't see that kind of stuff.
What a great fitness photo, though.
Yeah.
Cara in Highton, where'd you have a public vom?
At the movies.
Oh, no.
That's the way. It wasn't into, like, the popcorn, was it?
So it was last year when Infinity War had just came out, and I had a really, really bad chest infection. And I was hanging, had my popcorn and my soft drink, and about halfway through, I started having a really bad coughing fit.
Oh, no.
Next minute, up comes my popcorn room tight and I fly down those stairs into the bathroom. I don't know how much I missed, but I love popcorn, but not the aftertaste of vomiting it out. Oh, my God.
So, obviously, cinemas are made out of carpet. That would have been so hard to clean up. Did they stiff you with a bill?
No, I didn't get any. I caught it in my hand. I just ran down those stairs. I didn't get any on the carpet, luckily.
I was so lucky, but I just envision the looks you get if you make a really loud sound when you're trying to open a packet of chips. Imagine if you were, like, hurling the looks you would get from other cinema goers.
Like that, you. 5223 2955.
Bringing it home. Rachel in Norlane, what happened?
The Phil Collins concert in Melbourne.
Oh.
Yes. So I was about 8th row from the front.
Oh, no.
Just, I was dancing the whole way to the end of the show, and this end song comes on. Everybody finally gets up, and everybody's starting to dance, and here I am, hiding between my sister and my mum, using my empties to, I guess, refill.
Yeah.
There was about 5 empties all throughout the night. Like, oh, it was so stealth. Nobody knew.
Did they not know, though? Like,
could they smell it?
Yeah, exactly. 6 months ago, Stampsy, I got to move into the master bedroom of my share.
La-dee-da.
So fancy. And honestly, I love my house and I love my housemates and my landlord that is also my housemate, but my old room was a dog box. It was tiny.
Survivor style. Mm. Whose flame did you put out in order to actually get that room?
Like it was just because I was the longest one around, essentially. So I was like, well, clearly it's my dibs. So good times all around.
You shotgunned the master bedroom.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so once that moved out, I moved all my stuff in. I was like, this is great. And then a little while after the fact, Beck came down and she was like, oh, my God, there's so much space. I don't have to put my stuff, like, amongst all your crap and all this other stuff.
Beck being your girlfriend, you guys do long distance. Yes. So she comes down every couple of weeks. You go up there every couple of weeks. So by the time, I'm guessing, between you moving in and her coming down, it'd been a few weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. And she'll come down for a couple of days at a time as well, because obviously you want to make the most of it. And then kind of sitting around going, all right, I'm going to go to the toilet, she says. And I'm like, yep, no worries. And then we both realise that there's no door on my ensuite.
How did you only just realise that?
Well, it's not something you think about very often, is it? Like, I mean, it looked open and it looked nice. And that's because it is a thing that is on trend in 2019, is having big open areas.
Oh, and you're referring to this particular house that's gone viral. And I'm going to be honest, this whole situation that he's got going on with this room, it's making me very uncomfortable and my anxiety is peaking.
So it's a room up north that has gone viral because, first of all, it was a $1.9 million house. So it's super duper fancy.
How is it worth that much when it's missing half its walls?
Look at all the marble on those walls, mate. That's a lot of money to spend on that kind of stuff. Basically, though, what's happened is they've done a bit of a reno when they purchased the house. And in the master bedroom that had an ensuite with like a, I think that's an infinity shower with a thing that comes from the roof and like a sunken bathtub amongst those stuff. They've actually taken off all of the walls and the doors from the ensuite. So
now I've heard of an open plan living and usually that refers to the kitchen, the dining and the lounge room. This is open plan bedroom.
If you want to jump on our Instagram, K-Rock Geelong, we're going to chuck up a photo of it on our story basically. Yeah. But if you're lying in bed and you roll over a particular way in the middle of the night and your significant other isn't there and they're on the toilet, you're witnessing them doing a little bit of a, you know.
Yeah, they're doing number 2s on the loo, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And that makes me really uncomfortable because no matter how long I will be in a relationship, when I was with my long-term partner, now ex, in the entire 7 years we were together, my one thing, I loved him dearly. You get to the point where you get very intimate, and I don't mean in that relations way. I mean, like, you know, you basically,
you get closer and closer and closer.
You do. The walls come down, so to speak. The barriers come down. The one thing I would not allow him to do is come into the bathroom while I'm on the toilet. That was my time, my space.
And swinging back around to my story that I started this break with, we make sure that both of us, if one person's going to the toilet, the other person's outside of the room. We don't want to be around each other when that's happening.
You've actually got to leave the room if someone needs to use the bathroom.
Because we're considerate of each other. The things we do
for love. I know. The lengths you will go to appease your partner, and I guess when
you're together more years than mm-hmm. months. You settle into the creature comforts. You settle into each other's quirks, and you'll do things that no normal couple will do.
52232955. What is the thing you do for love? I have schoolmates, actually.
Yeah.
One of my friends, I'm not going to name drop him because it would be real rude, but he has a fungal toenail, and his girlfriend cleans it for him because it's very nice.
And they're still together?
Still together. Moved into their own house, so...
Well, they need to. He's got a fungal toenail. I wouldn't want to live with that.
I know a lot of people who like to squeeze their partner's pimples as well. Like, that's a massive thing as well.
This is less gross, but it was definitely the ultimate sacrifice. So when my partner and I were together, the first couple of years, this is why he was such a catch, guys. He didn't actually have a driver's license.
Oh, no.
And he used to work breakfast radio hours. Yeah. And if there was an event that he couldn't walk to, I had to get up from own sleep and be a bloody Uber for him.
52232955. What is
Soraya and Heighton? What do you do for love?
I shave my partner's back.
Is that the worst?
It's pretty bad.
Why is he in a position that he needs his back shaved? Is it a cyclist and he needs lycra, or is it genetics and during summer it gets a bit hot having that second jumper on?
In a previous relationship, someone tried to wax him and now he has really hairy spots on his back.
Oh, no. And because you're in love, the things you do, you suck it up, literally.
Yeah, it's just better than him looking like a gorilla.
And obviously it makes you a little bit happier. Give us a buzz. Susan, what's the thing that you do for love, mate?
I squeeze a boil on my husband's butt.
Now, it's one thing to squeeze a boil, but in that region as well. Now, is this something that, pardon the pun, but continues to rear its ugly head?
No, but it was so satisfying to see the pain he went through after all the treatment I've had for him.
So, was there I don't want to get too graphic, but was there a lot of fluid that came out of the boil?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That would have been satisfying too, right?
I nearly wet myself with laughter.
All the satisfaction. Mm. Susan from Colic just had it in her voice thing going, I almost want another one to reappear. Nicole in Port Arlington, what do you do for love?
Well, this is going back a little while. My partner cut his hand really badly and I basically stitched it up.
Wow.
Are you a nurse?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. So a lot of metho and got it stitched up and about 2 minutes later, I fainted.
Oh, fair enough. I'm pretty sure I would have fainted as well. Have you ever been convinced to do it again?
No.
Good point. Wow.
I just hope he returned the favour and at least... put it
a bed. I'd be interested to see, because Geelong and Surf Coast residents are doing amazing things for their partners. Like, maybe they're the best in the country.
I'm about to say something, and I know you're going to laugh at me because yesterday you witnessed me absolute crack the shiz because not one but two people cancelled appointments on me and I got really shirty. But for the most part, I'm a pretty laid-back, cruisy person. Mm-hmm. I'm organised, but if things fall through or if something doesn't happen... or if I've got to get to something, it'll get done. At the end of the day, it'll get done. But one thing that really grinds my gears, Peter Griffin style, is a lack of common courtesy. And today, I witnessed a massive crime against society, and I reckon most of Geelong would be with me, and it has to do with shopping centre pet peeves.
Okay. Describe.
So on my lunch break, I had a lap. I went round, stretched the legs. I'd already had lunch here at work. So I went... up Moorabool Street, I went through Market Square, got myself a couple of cheeky bliss balls from Boost.
Nice.
On the way back, cut across the pedestrian intersection there between Market Square, through Westfield, and then I was coming back around to work. Now, painting the picture, as I've walked through the Mallop Street entrance of Westfield, I'm walking towards the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking past Portman's.
I think I know exactly what you're about to talk about, actually.
Walking past... Peter Alexander, just past the jewellers. Now, it's not a small space.
No, it's pretty open.
There's quite a bit of room, room.
I tell you what the thing about the size as well that always gets me is because when you walk through those doors, they have the big heaters and the big fans that blow air on you at the same time and you're like, wow, this is some cool science that I'm warm when I'm 5 metres over here but cold when I'm over there.
And every so often you just walk a little bit slower on the cold days because you get in the heat.
Yeah, exactly.
So I hadn't quite got to bras and things. I hadn't quite got to...
Typo.
Hadn't quite got that far down yet, right? So as I'm walking down, I'm on the left-hand side. You've got the couches in the centre there. And between the shop and those couches, there's a mother's meeting happening right in the centre.
Okay, this isn't what I thought you were going to talk about. Continue, though.
And by that, I'm not trying to be stereotypical. Yep. I just meant there was three mothers and seven kids standing right in the centre.
Oh, okay.
There was not enough room to get around them. I literally had to put an indicator on and change lanes. I had to go to the other side to get around them to go to where I was going to
go. Were they legs and arms spread? Like, children are small and that is a big area.
They were having a full-blown conversation.
Wow.
Move to the side. It's not that hard, right? I don't think I'm asking for a lot in this world.
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking, keep to the left. When you're having a conversation, don't block the aisle. If we were on a plane and they were blocking the aisle, that's an emergency hazard.
Yeah, that is very true. Hearing your story, I thought you were going to talk about, because there were some people that were like, oh, you should donate to our charity over here. And
is that a pet peeve for you?
A massive pet peeve, because I already donate to charities. I'm not trying to up myself, but I do already. And I don't feel like I should be kind of accosted as I'm going through areas, only because these human beings, like I say, hey, sorry, I don't have enough time. And they're like, oh, it won't take much time. And I'm like, mate, just take the hint. Like, I don't need to say, no, I'm not talking to you right now. I want to move along. That's it. You're dealing with that literally all day. Just play the rules of the game. I am pet peeved about this.
Is there any greater pet peeve? And I put it to Geelong and the Surf Coast. What is your shopping centre pet peeve?
Slow walkers.
52232955. Let's not make a full-blown list here. Let's leave a few for Geelong and the Surf Coast.
Do we need to ask Geelong and the Surf Coast? I could just talk and smack for a little while if
what
you want.
What really gets at you, though, because you might be like me, especially if you're on your lunch break, you're not really necessarily in a rush to get there. And I always go by the theory in life, if you've got to be somewhere, make sure you leave early enough to get there.
Yeah.
But that's just a lack of human decency and common courtesy.
And respect. Give us a buzz. 52232955. What is your shopping centre pet peeve?
And in Torquay, what is your shopping centre pet peeve?
I hate it when I'm walking through the shops, which I was today, and people are on their phone and they're just walking to you. And I say, hey, look up. And I go, what? Oh, what planet am I on? Planet phone.
What? Like, I mean, if you're just like standing still and you're out of the way on your phone, fine.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, but if you are walking and using your phone at the same time, what are you doing, champion? Yeah.
You know, as a society, we're going backwards when, you know, the powers that be, councils, government, are thinking about actually installing lights on the ground for these people. It's like, don't bow to them. That's called natural selection.
You know. Get alive. Get alive.
52232955.
And Danielle and Lara, what is your shopping centre pet peeve?
One thing I really hate is when you've parked your car and there's no one near you and you come back and someone's right next to you when there's 50 million other car spaces.
Especially in like high-rise car parks where the spots are...
the magnet.
When the spaces are so close together and you're like, I don't want to hit my car door on their car.
Yeah, and like... especially like I've got a child seat, I've got a baby. So you try and park sort of away so that, you know, you can open your door and get the baby in and out and get your pram and everything else that you've got to do as a mum.
And you don't want to make multiple trips, so you've got six bags off each arm because you don't want to have to do multiple visits. So you're just trying to get everything in. And, yeah, that's it. They've got all of the selection of the car park and they've chosen that one precisely.
Give us a buzz. 52232955. What's your shopping centre pet peeve? I remembered another one. Mm. When somebody leaves a full trolley in the middle of an aisle at the shopping centre, like Coles or Woolworths, and they're just blocking space and they're just, oh, I'm just having a geese.
Oh, I thought you meant like, and they've disappeared. They've probably just had like the urge to pee. So they're like, I've just got to drop the trolley here and go.
That was the strangest dramatic pause I've ever heard. Hashtag kiss my fat ass. That is the name of a new song that is doing lots of good stuff for Australians all over the country.
I just love the fact that we're using a good old hashtag too. It's 2019, Geelong Surf Coast. And joining us right now, she is the woman behind that hashtag, Amy Shepherd, or Amy from Shepherd. Both are
pretty relevant. Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you guys?
Doing so well. We got lots to talk about, but I did want to start off the chat with a little bit about, because obviously it's been a couple of months now since Michael's left the band, and Kiss My Fat Ass is like the first major release you guys have done since that. So how's it all come together without him being a part of it?
Well, look, the girls are taking over, it seems. Michael left earlier in the year. He's gone on to study, he was studying forensic science and just taken a real turn, really. but now he's doing entertainment management, I think. But, we're still all really good friends, and I think, we'll have to catch up with him soon.
I have been following this campaign of yours, this hashtag KissMyFatAss, for a while now. Mm-hmm. It's incredible work you're doing, because anything that sparks conversation is such a positive thing. Why are we, though, and I use this generally as human beings, predominantly women, why are we the first to highlight our own flaws? I mean, we always constantly bring other people up, yet we don't do that for ourselves.
Yeah, well, we're conditioned to hate ourselves, If you look at anything on TV and now Instagram, it's just like fed to us that we're not good enough. And that's they can sell more products and remedies to us. And, if we loved ourselves and if everyone said, no, I'm good the way I am, then a lot of companies would go broke.
Yeah, definitely. There's lots of things to be thinking about with this video clip as well. And obviously you've done a lot of thinking about this because it all started in January when you started doing these posts. But was there a moment or like an instance where you really felt like, all right, this is the thing that I'm going to be working on in 2019. This is the big move that I'm going to be getting behind.
Yeah, look, it didn't happen overnight or on purpose, really. It was just like something, like a little side Instagram post that I did and sort of took off. It was a photo of me and I was just sitting by the pool and my boyfriend, Lockie, took the photo. Yeah, and I saw the photo. I loved it, except for my cellulite was really prominent in the photo. And I just remember thinking, like, oh, what can I do to, like, manipulate this photo so it looks worthy for Instagram? And I ended up face-tuning my legs for, like, 10 minutes. And I had a light bulb moment after I'd done face-tuning and I looked like a Barbie doll. And I was just like, what am I doing? Like, who the hell have I become? Like, I'm that self-conscious of cellulite that I can't post. Yeah. It can't be myself. And I just thought, well, no, screw that. Like, they've got a lot of people looking up to me as a role model. So I posted the photo as it was, the raw file, and it became my most liked photo very quickly. And it just goes to show that people are really craving a bit of normality and reality and, a role model that they can relate to.
And I tell you what, some pretty influential influencers have jumped on board as well. Think of Tiffany Hall and Taryn Fit. But what messages have you been receiving from the rest of Australia? How has it spoken to people?
I'm getting messages from all across Australia and internationally as well now. Just from people saying, like, thank you. Like, I went on holidays and I didn't wear a sarong for the first time ever. I never go swimming with my daughter and I just did it because I thought, the only person who's worried about it is me. And adorable. Just hearing messages like that make it all worthwhile.
I just got chills.
Really drives me.
I just got such happy chills because that's what it's all about. It's unifying people and going, it's all in the mind. And if we just change our mindset, nobody else is looking at it.
Yeah, it's all perspective. We're conditioned to see ourselves as these, we're ugly and we're not good enough. And, we're calling cellulite hail damage. Whereas, why is cellulite such a thing to be, hate yourself over? It's just, it's normal and it doesn't mean you're lazy. It doesn't mean you're ugly or fat. It's just a thing that women get. And I don't think it should be censored or we should be feeling bad about it.
Before we let you go and play the tune in question, how are the other boys in the band been supporting this? Have they been doing their own stuff behind the scenes or?
Well, George and Jay helped me write this song because obviously being a Shepherd release, we wrote it together and it was really awesome having, being in the room and obviously we're snowballing on all the ideas and just hearing their thoughts and, their perspective on the whole issue was really interesting to me. And so they've been helping me along the way. And obviously they're not in the video clip, but they were there on the day. Jay took all the behind the scenes photos and George was there trying to learn the dance moves.
Thank you so much for having a chat, mate, and checking into the Departure Lounge.
Thanks, guys.
Stamsy and Josh's Facebook Market Fake.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Because you always beat me in this game, but we still play it.
It is my superpower, Geelong the Surf Cars. I can't help it. I was born with this gift.
So basically the way this game works is I like to have a look at Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace, and the boss came past the desk one day as I was scrolling, and he was like, "What are you doing, mate? Get back to work." And I was like, "Oh, no, this is work. It's doing a segment where we do things." And he was like, "Sure."
So
and
you
now
scrambled
it is. Uh-huh.
And you put together this. And we have been running it for a few weeks now. And Geelong and the Surf Coast, to be honest, you can play along on your drive home if you're still at work. We are so sorry to hear that. But, you know.
The whole point behind it is, basically, we like to look at things on the internet. I like to look at them in particular, but Stampsy's got to guess one that I've made up.
Yeah, because out of the three, two are real things that you can actually purchase, and this all stemmed on the fact that someone sold their dreadlocks, guys.
Yeah, and they were gross. They were dyed dreadlocks, and that just looked real icky.
I don't
think
I knew that part of the detail.
You saw the photo, mate. You would have. I think you've just repressed it, and if anything.
I think
anyway,
I have.
Three items that I have right now, starting with a Roscoe Bakery bread slicer. Going quirky this week.
A Roscoe.
R-O-S-S-Co.
Bakery.
Yeah, bakery bread slicer. $750. It's selling due to a closure of a bakery cafe. Easy and direct access for loading if you want to pick it up. Used but is in great condition. Now, if you've ever seen those WorkSafe ads where the person at the bakery gets their hand mangled in one of those machines. Have you not seen that one?
Yes, but I'm wondering.
That's the machine.
I'm wondering why we had to go there.
Oh, it's just the only reason. I feel like when else are you seeing something like that?
All right. Well, because you referenced that, for the moment, I'm going to lock in and say, yes, someone is selling that.
Now, I thought maybe about not using this one, but it's a used Caniston thrush treatment for $10.
It's not a Wednesday to mate. We're not thrusting into the weekend.
Well, this person isn't anymore anyway. Caniston, it says a clotrimazole thrush treatment, 35 gram with 5 disposable applicators.
So someone's selling their used thrush cream.
Basically the parts of the thrush cream that weren't used, they're selling.
I'm going to say that one's false on the basis of you've got thrusting into the weekend on the brain.
Finally, a pearl white foam wedding cake for $250. Selling a 5-tier pearl white foam wedding cake. Lace detail on the tiers and metallic silver accents. Perfect if you're looking for a visual rather than an edible. Also great for wedding photo shoots. And the cake is covered in fondant, so it smells like a cake even though it's not a real cake.
That is a lot of detail, so I'm going to say that one is true.
All right, three items we got. Roscoe bread slicer, used Caniston thrush treatment. Thursday, am I right? Pearl white foam wedding cake.
All right.
Is this the first one?
Yeah, this is a good one because initially I thought, okay, that middle one, I think you've just got it on the brain. I hope not because there is cream for that. In fact, you can buy some secondhand one online. But then the first one, you probably were looking at ads.
Maybe.
I'm gonna go B. I'm gonna say lock in B.
Yeah! That's a win for me. I'm gonna play that sound effect.
Which one was it?
The cake.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Did you get help from Beck?
So I saw there was one that was like a couple of layers, but then there was cake on top of it. So I just changed it and changed the price and the descriptions of it.
I see what we're doing here.
What's this?
We're bending the rules.
No, there's no bending of rules. You never said we couldn't do that. Market Fake Game back next week.
I'm not angry, but I'm just disappointed.
Stamps, we've got some pretty special guests in the studio right now, mate.
I'm way too excited to have these guys in here with us because it is a big weekend for the Geelong Supercats. Our men are taking on Nutterwadding. They've got to go on the road for that one tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. while we've got our qualifying final for the women's Geelong Supercats against Ringwood tomorrow night, 6 p.m. tip off. Joining us right now, AJ Williams, Sarah Blitzars. Good afternoon.
Thank you for having us, guys. Great to be here. Thank you.
And yes, we are having an alcoholic cordial. and we will get you one out of Wally the trolley very, very shortly. But firstly, to both of you, congratulations. Mm. Both teams making it through to the finals, especially for you, AJ, in your first year with the Supercats. Do you feel like you brought the good luck this season?
I mean, I want to say I bring the good luck. I just want to come here and play hard and win. I'm a winner, so like I just want to bring that to the Supercats as well.
Can I just say, though, you are a winner with the kids because off the win last weekend, you were like the Pied Piper. I was courtside doing the MC, and after it was all over and the kids were allowed on the court, granted you had a ball and you were signing it and they probably wanted a freebie, but they just they just swarmed to you. You have just – the kids idolise you.
Yeah, I love the kids. Even back home, I'm the same way. I'm the same person. I just live for the kids. They just make me go every day. So, like – when I see the kids happy, that makes me happy. Like, that's why I play basketball. I just want to see them happy.
And oh, I love that.
That's why.
Nothing but good vibes, but very competitive vibes this weekend. Because it's almost like, I feel like this is bigger than what we're kind of making it out to be. Because it really is a battle of the west of Victoria versus the east of Victoria. Because you guys are up against Ringwood. You guys are up against Nunawading. Yeah. Like, are you looking at it like that? Because Ringwood and Nunawading are very close to each other.
Yeah, and that's why they say west is the best, right?
Yeah. So,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Ringwood beat us maybe a month ago, I think, last time we played them. So
revenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm super psyched to play tomorrow and I feel like good vibes only.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sending my positive vibes to the boys too.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely going to be a big game. We played them during the season. I didn't get to play because I had broke my finger when I first got here. So I missed the first three games of the season. And as what I've seen from number one, they're a real veteran team. So we just going to have to come out, execute all our plays and play hard and just try to jump on them early, you know.
Sarah, you've literally hit the court running because you've just come off camp for the Opals Olympics training. How was that?
Yeah, that was great. The weather was beautiful and I like to think I actually got a tan, so I might look okay playing tomorrow. That's what it's about, right?
Yeah,
I only went there to get a tan, not for basketball. No, it was really good. Yeah, we ended up doing about 8 sessions, couple of gym sessions. Good to have everyone there on court. Mm. It was bloody tough. It really was. Yeah. We didn't get a day off. But in saying that, yeah, it was awesome. Great atmosphere there. Had a lot of fun. And, yeah, it's good to be back in Geelong. Izzy and Zatina were also a part of that camp. Yeah. So it's nice to kind of have the full squad back in Geelong for tomorrow.
And AJ, you've been here for a little while now. Are you feeling more like a Geelong local? Are you getting amongst the coffee shops on Mallop Street? And
Homehouse local?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually loving Geelong, Australia, period. Like, I tell them all the time, like, this feel like home to me. Like, it's not a big adjustment. Like, it's more calm, slowed down here, so I could just focus on what I want to do. So, and I got, like, good people around me, DeMarcus Gatlin, Sarah Blissav, so just to name a few, Lewis Thomas, they all, like, look out for me because I just graduated college, so I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So once I got here, I was just like, I'm just trying to wing it and try to make it the best opportunity and stuff like that. So once I started meeting these good people, I just went along with it, and it's just been an amazing experience.
I guess when you're over in the States as well, there's a lot of basketball talent around you, so a lot of people are thinking about it pretty much nonstop. Do you find you get a little bit distracted here in Australia because there's obviously...
Or is it on the flip side, is it better because it's not all basketball?
I feel like it's equal here. So, like, when I'm here, I'm more focused on basketball. When I'm back home, it's a lot going on. Mm. So you can easily get distracted back home. So while I'm here in Geelong, I just work on my game a lot, do work in the community, work with kids a lot. So I just focus on like what I really want to do. It's not like back home, you know. So back home, it's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. So
actually, I totally get that. It's like if you live interstate, Josh and I have both worked interstate for work. And when you get home, everybody just wants your time. Yeah. They want to come around. Yeah. They want you to come around for home-cooked meals. It's like, you know what? I just need some time out, guys.
What do you mean?
I
can't do this 8-hour house party. I'm trying to see my family.
Stop booking me out for everything. To both of you, all the very best tomorrow in the finals.
Can't wait
to hopefully come back on Monday and say you guys have come up trumps and continue on in the finals campaign. So all the very best for Saturday.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys.
It's one thing to issue a threat.
Yes.
It's another thing to follow through. Maybe you are backed in a corner. The kids, they were testing your patience.
And kids do that. I vividly remember multiple times my parents saying, "You're going to do something." I'm like, "I'm not going to do something." And then just all of my things getting ruined because of it.
The amount of times my mum would come into my bedroom.
Uh-huh.
This is going to make me sound like an A-grade nerd burger. This was the naughtiest I got, but I would listen to the radio underneath my doona. So I loved radio. Yeah. I loved music. And mum would come in night after night, turn it off, you've got to go to bed. Turn it off, you've got to go to sleep. I was not going to sleep until I heard what number one was going to be in the top 40 countdown, right?
And it would go to like 11 o'clock back in those days.
Turn it off, yeah. Go to bed. It's 11 o'clock. You've got to get up for school. Mum took all of my CDs, my radio, everything and anything, my Discman, yes, show my age, anything that played music, took it out of my room.
Oh, no.
Followed through with it. I had to wait till the following, I think it was my birthday, Christmas had already passed, to get a new one.
Wow.
It wasn't replaced. She followed through with it. So it happened on live TV this morning. Farms from Carandra West, they decided, because they actually came across, they actually ended up with a super rare Lion King Ushi.
Specifically, it was the first one out of the super rare ones as well.
The furry ones that you can get. Now, they've been inspired by how much some are actually making online. And obviously, farmers are doing it really tough. So they thought, well, why not put it to good? How about we trade it for water? Because that's what we really need. Money's great, but water is what we actually need. Now, trolls, who are horrific, as we know, and go after the vulnerable, and they've got a pack mentality. They said some really disgusting things to these farmers online, and they said, look, don't make us destroy this Ushi, because that's what it's coming to right now. And the trolls said, well, you wouldn't do that. Sell it to us. Come on, you said you'd sell it. Sell it to us. And they hounded them. Well, they got on Today this morning, and they followed through.
It's just not worth it. You ask yourself, what is a life worth? Is it worth what money? We don't know. So is it worth this? It's not. So to the people that bullied us and they want to buy this thing because they want it, well, this is what I say to them. It won't cut you.
It's him cutting it's the done. Ushi.
You can't buy it. I'm going to destroy it. I said that to people, and then they messaged Melissa and they bullied her again and said that she was selfish for not selling it. Well, the world's got to stop this stuff because people get hurt and it goes further and further. So this will cause a media frenzy and they want to bully me. Well, more bullying, I suppose. It's not going to happen.
Now, he's actually tapped on something that's a deeper-seated issue with what is wrong with society. But he just went and showed us that here's someone, an adult, a parent, who laid down a thread. He told the trolls, you know what? This will happen if you don't stop. And he went through. And as Josh kindly reminded me this morning, it's such a parent.
Parents love to say, I will remove the Wi-Fi, or I'll get rid of the books you love, or I'll get rid of the tapes and CDs.
Don't make me snap that in half. Don't make me throw that out of the car window.
I remember not cleaning up a toy box once when I was really young, and my parents would always ask me to clean up my toy box. And one day they were like, if you don't clean it up right now, Joshua, we're going to throw it all out. And I was like, no, you won't. And then I went to basketball training and I came back and it was all gone. I was like, oh, I've made a huge mistake.
52232955. Did you follow through with the threat or did your parents follow through with a threat on you and your siblings? But have you been put in that position with your kids where they tested you and they tested you? Maybe they're getting a little bit older and they're starting to see through your threats and you're like, I've got to take it one step further right now. Azza, you say, while laughing, this was you. What did you follow through with?
My youngest, he's a bit more, behaved now, but he used to get up before school and play the Xbox and wouldn't listen. So I'm like, get off the Xbox, man! And he wouldn't listen. So if you don't get off it, you'll lose it. So that's all right. Saturday morning, he gets up, I get up. Get the Xbox for me. We sat down at the table. I had the coffee. And I got this little Azito. It's like a drill where you put screwdriver bits in it. I sat there and I proceeded to take every single screw out of the Xbox. I took it apart.
Did you, look, all right, so I have lots of questions. When you're a kid, you do that with clocks sometimes and you kind of work out how to put it back together. Could have you put it back together if you wanted to?
No hope. Oh, I could have. I said, if you can put it back together, you can have it. And he had no hope. And
how did he look as he was, as his pride and joy was being dismantled in front of him?
I thought his lip was going to go through the floor.
Oh, did you feel guilty while you were doing it?
Not to begin with. And the more I got through it, there's like screws and bits and pieces all on the table. I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel a little bit bad now.
Reminds me of that Simpsons episode where it's like, stop, he's already dead. Oh, no.
I'm just envisioning Azza as he's pulling it apart going, I've got to bloody put this back together.
I'm very well, Samsy and Josh. How are you going?
Doing great, mate.
Yes, so excited to be chatting to you. And congratulations on the return of Sea Change, a role that you took on
about 20 years ago. I mean, we're showing all of our ages here. But returning to this iconic role on this iconic TV show, was it just like riding a bike? Does it feel like it was just yesterday?
In a way, yes. In a way, very much not. I mean, it was a surprise. We didn't expect that we'd be reprising these roles. So to that extent, a great surprise, a very pleasant surprise, albeit, you know. And in some ways, yes, I was quite nervous. I remember when we had our first read-through with the cast, we were all nervous. All the original characters were very nervous, thinking, what the heck have we let ourselves in for? Can we, you know, can we reprise this role? Do we know what it feels like? And we kind of did, you know. It's interesting how some people never change.
Sea Change, obviously, is the name of the show, but coming back to it 19 years later, it was almost a little bit of a sea change for yourself, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, Laura's very different in the sense that she's lived a lot longer, and she's, you'd think she'd be a little bit wiser than she actually is, but that's half the fun. She really hasn't, she's still quite hapless and still quite neurotic and but still wants everyone to be happy and still trying to please everyone and, you know, making a bit of a cock-up of things. Yeah. And so that's the fun of the show, and that essentially, that element of the show is still there, but a lot of other things have changed around it because there's a whole new cast as well as, you know, as well as reprising some beautiful original cast members like John Howard, Carrie Armstrong, Kevin Harrington, Georgina Naidoo. There's now a really kind of diverse, interesting cast with all different age groups and sexes and colours, and it's great. It's a
how
bit of a melting pot.
How much of you is in the character, and how much of the character probably has become of you?
I always answer this question by saying it's all me. Because you can't not be you. I mean, it's an aspect of me. Whether I'm playing a psychopath or, you know, someone who seems very removed or a character role with a different accent, it's still me. It's just me and my imagination having a play, really.
And it sounds like a lot of fun.
Telling a story. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's me. I still love it. You know, I'm very glad it's never become a chore because I love the work and I always have. Yeah. So I'm a lucky person to enjoy my work. Yeah.
19 years is a long time in real life, but it's also probably in like TV show land as well. And in the last season of Sea Change, that was in the 90s, you were fighting toxic waste dumping towards the end of the season. Are we going to see some like Chernobyl-esque people around the stair?
We're going to see how little the world has learned in that time currently. Ooh. Because ecological, you know, the dangers of ecological, what's the word? Squandering our beautiful ecological wealth and, you know, legacy for the world and the planet is, you know, we're not that much further better off now than that we were before. There's a little bit more awareness, but there's not nearly enough action going on. And we're all, you know, we're all exploring the ramifications of that, you know, all the time, every day we walk out the door. So there's that, and that's always been a central kind of pillar of Sea Change, to explore the world in that way. But essentially the show is really about loving connection between human beings. And so it's about a small community. And, you know, if we think about our lives in bigger communities and smaller communities, we're in our DNA, we're designed to connect like tribes people, you know, as part of the same smaller group. And we still kind of need that wherever we live, no matter what environment we choose to live in, we still need that human connection, and that's really the essential thread, and that's the bones of what Sea Change is about.
Well, here in Geelong, we probably have the same mentality because we are quite
the best of both worlds there, really.
Right. We have that major town connection and feel, but we have that small town mentality.
I think we connect
in a very same way.
We should be treasured in so many ways.
Sea Change back on our TV screens Tuesday, 8:45 PM on Channel 9. It has been an absolute joy to speak with you, Sigrid. We'll chat to you soon.
Likewise. Thank you so much, guys. Have a lovely afternoon in beautiful Geelong.
Stampsy and Josh.
Get the podcast. Head to krock.com.au and subscribe now.